Hi, it's David Gregory, and you're listening to Craven Speak.
You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Welcome to episode 5 of Ravens Weekly, the official Bromley FC podcast. As ever, I'm joined by Matt.
Hello.
And James.
Hello.
Cookie's unavailable today due to, unforeseen circumstances. Is that what we're going with? Unforeseen circumstances.
Yeah.
Okay, but no doubt he'll be back for episode 6. We generally miss him. Right, what have we got coming up on this week's?
Well, we're going to take a look back at the fantastic Bank Holiday Monday win against Havant at Waterlooville.
We're also going to round up some of your favourite Bromley FC away days. We'll also touch on some of our ones as well. And then, Jeff, I believe we're going to link into the first.
Yeah, I think we're going to crack on this. Might as well jump straight in. Obviously, Wrexham away last Saturday. Overnight stay for the players on the Friday. Don't think they could have asked for better preparation.
Nice,
We kick things off at the racecourse ground. Myself and Matt, who were providing commentary today, and we've done our best to summarise it.
Hello everyone and welcome to the racecourse ground where Bromley take on Wrexham this afternoon, and the Bromley team in goal: David Gregory, 2 Toby Adebayo-Rowling, 4 Frankie Sutherland, 5 Roger Johnson and captain, 8 Frankie Raymond, 9 Omar Bugale, 15 Mark Anthony Okoye, 16 Jake Goodman, 18 George Porter, 22 John Goddard, and 23 making his debut and his return is Sam Wood.
Welcome back, Sam. Great to have him back, isn't it?
Fantastic. And on the bench is Dan Johnson, Bobby Joe Taylor, Jordan Higgs, Rhys Meekins, and Junior O.
They've put Agedi Azukwe. I very clearly wrote Agedi Azukwe.
Agedi Azukwe.
And I think I wrote quite a neat team sheet this week.
Bit.
So, no, it's not my error. I'm not
fantastic.
Taking any blame
Jackie
for that.
Jackie tuning in, Raven Fox tuning in. Thank you very much, guys. We are 5 minutes from kickoff now.
We are indeed.
Come on, boys.
Just about to get things underway here. Come on, Bromley.
Have they got a clock? They've got a screen. He's got a stopwatch. He's got a stopwatch.
That's true, yeah. I did have Google stopwatch open just in case.
All the gear, no idea.
Come on, lads.
We're underway.
And it's sent all the way back to Gregory. Long ball up front. Omar's offside. Mark Anthony's not.
It's straight away. And Sam Wood here has lost the ball. Oh! Hate to say it, Sam Wood there at fault for the goal.
What can you say? We've had some good chances. Okay, everyone's in the same. Hey, if you don't take those chances, you're going to get punished.
But that is it. That is half time now, and we are 1-0 down to Wrexham. 30th minute goal from Fondop. We have had our chances, haven't we? So let's hope we can pull our way back into it in the second half.
Well, Wrexham got forward, edge of the box. They're into the box now. They've got 3 men in there. Cuts inside, right foot. Two nil to the home side. And you can't say it's not been coming.
Hate to say it, I think that's game over. It's never afternoon here, really.
Hold on a minute, we've got a corner. Who are we going to score, Matt?
I'd love to see that,
in,
I must say.
Oh, you jokies!
Has he given a penalty?
He's given a penalty!
I've no idea what for.
He's given a penalty. Omar just headed it over the bar, and the referee's given a penalty. I don't think half the stadium know.
Frankie Sutherland for Bromley.
Over the ball, he's going to step up right footed. Up he steps right footed.
And
yes! Yes! Get in there! And we're back in it, and Sutherland's got the goal.
What?
And it's got the goal back into.
Can't celebrate the goal. Can't celebrate the goal. What's that for? What's that for? What's that for?
Don't worry.
What's that for?
George Porter's going to line it up. Everybody now in the box. George Porter, long throw, sent up. It's a great throw, isn't it?
Oh, it's still in the box.
Mark Antony's going to try and keep it alive. It's going to be another corner. Sorry, a corner for Bromley. Oh, 4 minutes. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I feel like there's going to be a goal.
Oh, I can't take.
Could be either end, but I just feel like there's still a goal in this game.
I know what you mean.
Whoever said that in stoppage time. Left foot, Raymond swung in towards that near post. Goal! Yes!
Yes!
Yes! Blimey! It was a great ball into the box by Raymond, left foot. And the defender's come up at the near post. And as he jumped up, it splits off the top of his head and has gone over everybody into the far corner of the goal. And it's Wrexham.
Any idea, Jeff, who that was?
I don't care. I don't care.
Who put it in the corner?
Oh, sorry, Raymond.
Oh.
Oh, unbelievable. Oh, my Lord. Football. I told you, I had a feeling. I want some.
Jeff, let's hope it was just a one goal.
Oh, no.
We've got to hold out here.
We're going to face the Alamo.
I see our friend from the in front of the press box has left.
Oh, dear. Did you wave him on?
I gave him a nice little smile as he walked out in response to his V sign. Jeff, I can't take any more. Just blow up now.
Where's the stopwatch?
Oh, it's on overdrive. Look, that's over 4 minutes now.
He's got time. Yes!
Yes!
Blimey. How on earth we pulled a point from there?
Jeff, I said it was game over at 2-0. I was wrong. I'm very happy to admit that.
I can't believe it. I don't know what to show. I'm speechless. Oh, Wrexham 2, Bromley 2, full time at the race course. I don't even know who scored the first goal. That was a penalty, wasn't it?
It was penalty and an own goal, so not exactly smooth, but we don't care how they go in, do we, Jeff?
Absolutely.
Just as long as they do.
Delighted for everybody.
And nice to see our friends down in front of us are a bit more reserved and quiet now.
Yeah, they've not really got much to say.
No, they haven't, funnily enough. I would happily have had a little chat with them about the game.
Thanks so much.
We've
for
done it.
Everyone.
Incredible.
What a game that was. Just as eventful in the press box, I think, as it was on the field of play. An absolutely remarkable afternoon at the racecourse ground. Obviously, Matt declaring that the game was over. 2-0 down. Everybody enthusiast.
I'm quite proud of that. You know, I said I was happy to be proved wrong, and I'm glad I was.
Brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. We said first half, when we didn't take our chances, you just couldn't help but feel we might get punished. And like you said, when we were 2-0 down, it definitely felt that way. But I must admit, fair play, Neil, the boys just never gave up.
Second half, the tide had turned, really, hadn't it? It was a complete. Once we'd scored that penalty, you could see the game shift.
Yeah, I mean, Fondop for them, first half. To be fair, I thought he was getting the better of our defence.
Yeah.
A bit too easy. Mm. Second half, I thought Roger just absolutely dominated him the second half.
But I think, Jeff, what we said at the end of the commentary as well, I'm not sure if it's in that extract, but we were always in the game. And I think, like you said, we had our chances in the first half. And actually, the Wrexham commentator said if we'd have scored that own goal 10 minutes earlier, he thinks we would have won the game.
That's the thing. At the end, I said about, I don't know how we pulled a point here. It wasn't because of how we were playing or the fact we actually deserved a point, at least. It was just the circumstances that in the way that it happened. Like you said, when we were that 2-0 down, and it was like, blimey, you know, we'd really been punished for not taking our chances or whatever. But yeah, the boys definitely deserve that, if not more. And Matt, you managed to catch up with Neil Smith after the game.
Neil, traditionally, it hasn't been a happy hunting ground for us here, but we ground out a 2-2 draw here today. You must be absolutely delighted with the response.
Yeah, fantastic drive and determination from the players to still believe that we could get something after being, you know, 2-0 down to the team that were top of the table with a big crowd behind them. And we believed, you know, as soon as we got the penalty, I thought Frankie took it really well. And you know, you looked around, you just see all the players be galvanised by that and go on and get the equaliser. I didn't think we deserved to be 2-0 down, if I've got to be brutally honest, and I think we gifted them a couple of goals, but fair play to the players. They stuck with it and come away with a point.
And is that a fair result in your reflection?
I really do. I think we had a couple of chances in the first half that we should have done better with, but you know, this team hadn't let a goal in or up till last week, so they've only let one in. We've scored two at Wrexham away from home. I think that's a massive achievement for the squad of players that we put out today, and every one of them played their part.
And another appearance of Jake Goodman today in particular, really solid at the back. He's still coming into fitness, but he was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, he was brilliant last week, and he's done exactly what I've asked of him to do today. And then Mark Antony, obviously, to go the other side on the full back, did a really good job. But, you know, to come to Wrexham get a draw last week. Gateshead, who was second in the table, will win. I'm hoping now that this sort of galvanises a run of games, that we get results. But ultimately, you know, I'm just so pleased for the players. I think they worked so hard to get that result, and I think they deserved it.
And if you wanted an example of fighting to the death, surely that's the perfect example.
Absolutely, we did it again. I was just saying now, we did it against Dover. Early on in the season, we showed that determination, and we've done it again. So I've got that in abundance with these players. Just don't want to be giving silly goals away like we did, and having to do that. But you know, I can't fault any of them for their determination. And you know, again, the supporters really showed their appreciation. I think the players showed their appreciation for the supporters, because we know how difficult it must have been to get up, obviously with the trains and everything being as they are. So hopefully they're going back happy, and we'll see them Monday.
And as you touched on there, it's a long journey, and we've got another game Monday. It's a tough time for the squad, isn't it?
Yeah, we've just done a cool down. We'll have, you know, plenty of fluid water on the coach on the way back. We'll be in training tomorrow, probably more massaging and just go through having to Waterlooville, because you know, it's going to be a tough one, and we want to win on Monday.
Neil, congratulations and thank you.
Thank you.
Always nice to hear from manager Neil Smith after a game. Obviously, fantastic praise there for the supporters who made all the effort to get there on that Saturday. Fantastic numbers turning up at Wrexham. Obviously, up next was Havant and Waterlooville at home. A quick turnaround from the Saturday to the Monday. But Neil actually got the players in on the Sunday.
He did, yeah. So the players came in for a bit of a relaxed session. Obviously, they're not going to be training hard on the day in between two games. So they came in, had a couple of team meetings, a couple of videos on Havant and Waterlooville.
Sauna, jacuzzi.
Yeah, that's it, over to Nuffield afterwards as well. But I think it was really important, and Neil stressed that on Sunday, that he wanted them to be together. He wanted to obviously have to reflect on Saturday in a very positive way, but then again look ahead and swiftly move on to the challenge that was Havant and Waterlooville.
No, fantastic. And James, you were on hand to give us all the team news ahead of the game.
Case of the match has just kicked off here at Hayes Lane. It's Bromley against Havant and Waterlooville. A couple of minutes into the first half, I'll just run you through the Bromley lineup. They started with 1 David Gregory, 5 Roger Johnson, 8 Frankie Raymonds, 9 Omar Begill, 14 Jordan Higgs, 15 Mark Anthony Okoye, 16 Jake Goodman, 18 George Porter, 19 Junior Agedi Azukwe, 22 John Goddard. Roger Johnson just goes close as we're talking. And rounding off that starting 11 is 23 Sam Wood. Bromley, much of the early possession here. We're about 5 or so minutes into the half. Good crowd here on Bank Holiday Monday. Full credit to Havant and Waterlooville fans travelling as well. They've got a decent number of them over on the far side of the ground. So yeah, Bromley looking comfortable in the first few minutes of this half. Hopefully that continues. We'll be back at half time, where I'm sure Matt will keep you posted with things that have gone on this first 45.
Okay, I'm sure James mentioned it. He did the pre-match preview, and I'm doing the half-time review, if you like. So, brilliant first half here from Bromley, currently 2-0 up, thanks to a brace from Omar Begill, and the goals are almost a carbon copy of one another. The first one, free kick in from the left side from John Goddard, and a brilliant flicked header from Omar, perfectly timed run. And we looked good. Havant have been quick on the break, haven't managed to test Gregory too much just yet. And the second goal came on the 33rd minute, and like I say, very similar to the first, over on the other side, so over on the right this time. This time Raymond delivering the ball in, and it was an excellent delivery once again, as we've seen so many times this season. And Omar was there to nod in at the back post, so a deserved lead, I think, for Bromley at the break. Omar looks renewed in his confidence, and that's really great to see. And we look really, really good. Sam Wood having an excellent game so far as well. Yes, the signs look very promising. Let's just hope we can keep this up in the second half.
And keep it up we did. 2 more goals in the second half, 2 impressive goals in fact from Junior, and to delight a great home crowd here, Matt.
It was a fantastic crowd, wasn't it, James? Just under 1,500. Some really, really good football, I'm sure you agree, was
absolutely
played. The goals very different to those in the first half. Yeah. Obviously 2 set pieces, nice to see a score from open play.
Yeah.
The finish on the first one was absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, top corner.
Recommend BFC TV for that one.
Absolutely.
Sponsored
absolutely.
By Skill Crown. And the second goal was just a fantastic team effort, wasn't it?
Really.
And a cultured finish
coming into it with the assist. He had a really good game as well at Arfham, didn't he?
He did, and let's give a shout out to Sam Wood at left back.
Yes.
Who did a really good job, didn't he?
Absolutely. Probably Wrexham just getting him settling into the team. But yeah, he really showed his colours on Monday.
So overall, a very pleasing performance. Really, really pleased to have seen that. Four goals at home. Can't beat that. I managed to catch up with Neil Smith after the game. Neil, a 4-0 victory at home to Havant and Waterlooville today. Everything just seemed to click.
Yeah, look, I think we've been knocking on the door, I think, since Harrogate at home when we had 25 chances. I think if, you know, I think if we'd have won that by 3 or 4 at the time, I don't think anyone would have complained. To then go and beat Gateshead, to then go to Wrexham and get a draw, it was just nice to get Omar off early doors, relax him, because his work ethic's been phenomenal, and all he's needed is a goal. So yeah, so to get those goals, there's something we work on, is very, very pleasing.
And obviously Junior as well as Omar with a brace today, you must be very pleased with your attacking players.
Yeah, you know, I played them all. I think I showed an intent today. You know, I played all my forwards because I wanted a win. I think we needed a win, especially after Saturday. So to get that 4-0 was phenomenal. But hopefully in our way, we've just said thank you to the supporters. You know, we know how hard it was for them to come to Wrexham with the trains and the situation. To come home and get that 4-0, you know, hopefully they'll, you know, get back behind us and support.
And touching on the support, great crowd today, great football.
Yeah, brilliant. And, you know, and I think the players that I've got in here at the moment, I think, you know, Johnny Goddard as well, you know, linking up the play, I think was outstanding. I thought my two centre midfield players, you know, Jordan Heath coming in for Frankie Sutherland, and obviously my back four, I think we were a wall. And obviously when Gregors was called upon, he was there. So every man, you know, the subs come on, every man, you know, played their part today. And, you know, that's without the Mekis coming back, the Cole de Silvers, Frankie Sutherland obviously not playing. So I'm hoping they come back soon. There's competition for places and we can try and get a run going.
And a homecoming for Sam Wood today, did really well, didn't he?
Yeah, you know, Sam is experienced, he's a league player, 300 odd league games. He's just needed what, you know, what we needed, a little bit of a cool head alongside Roger Johnson as well. And I think Jake Goodman's come in for the last couple of games and been outstanding. So, you know, good things, but we know we've got still ahead of a lot of work to do. But it's just great for a bank holiday weekend to go Saturday and Monday like we have. Brilliant.
That's it, 2 games in 3 days. We're now waiting until Saturday. We'll travel to Maidenhead.
Tough game. We know what they're like. You know, obviously the last game of the season we played last season when they had nothing to play for and they did a job on us. So we know it's going to be difficult. They're very well organised. Alan Devish is very good at that. But we've got to make sure we're on our mettle and make sure that we perform to our very, very best like we have done today.
Neil, congratulations and thank you.
Thank you.
So a good bank holiday weekend for Bromley. Obviously, looking ahead, up next is Maidenhead United. We made a short trip to York Road on Saturday. Matt, always an eventful high-scoring contest / bogey team for us.
Well, last season it was definitely a bogey team. Maidenhead were one of the only clubs to do the double over us, winning 3-2 here at Hayes Lane and 5-2 in the final league game of the season at York Road. And as Steve says, and as you refer to, Jeff, there, high-scoring games across the past few seasons. There's a 4-4. Do you remember that, James?
Absolutely.
Bit of a crazy game that was on our way to the Conference South title, wasn't it? And one that sticks in my mind as well is I think it was a 4-2 defeat when we were in the Conference South and we were down the bottom and we lost.
Riding on that game.
It was a relegation battle and we had to wait half an hour after that game because Billericay kicked off late to see if we were staying up. And I just remember leaving the ground and seeing Jeff at the front of the away end. Well, just looking,
hands over, yeah,
just wondering what is life, and it was all right in the end.
It was.
And we stayed up. And another one, James, that 1-0 victory. 1-0, do you want to touch on that? Because it was a bit of a bizarre one, that
very
wasn't it?
Bizarre one. We eventually won the game 1-0. Jay May, I believe, scoring that day. And it was I think the linesman was injured, and our very own Mark Hammond had to step in to official that game.
He got a lot of banter, didn't he? Because Maidenhead got a penalty down that end, saved, which was good. So we went on to win the game 1-0, but Mark coming in for a lot of banter there. So let's look at Maidenhead's form so far this season. They've won 2 games, lost 4 and drawn 1. And their start to the season wasn't too good, was it, James? They started out losing 3-1 to Gateshead before losing 1-0 to Maidenhead. They then got a draw against Dagenham Redbridge, lost 2-0 to Wrexham, lost 2-1 to Maidenhead, and then they won 2 games. Do you want to touch on those?
In fact, Matt, I think we'll leave that to Maidenhead's very own Steve Ginman.
After last season's record finish of 12th, the summer was dominated by transfer news with high-profile signings of Harry Pritchard, Max Kilman and Sam Barrett by Football League and Premier League clubs. In their place came the likes of Ryan Bird, Ayo Obalai, Max Worsfold and James Akintunde. And the pre-season went well with no games lost and hopes were high that the Magpies could improve on last season. However, the first week of the season saw things didn't really go to plan, with a 3-1 defeat at home to Gateshead and then a 1-0 defeat at Solihull in midweek. Things looked up at Dagenham when, with 10 minutes to go, despite going down to 10 men, the Magpies took the lead, but the Daggers equalised on the strike of half-time. There was then doom and gloom as the Magpies fell to defeats against Wrexham and Hartlepool, but the season was kick-started over the bank holiday with back-to-back wins against Maidstone, live at York Road in front of the BT Sport cameras, and then away at Braintree on Bank Holiday Monday to leave the Magpies out of the bottom four going into Saturday's game against Bromley. So season looking up and looking forward to the game against Bromley. Games in recent vintage at York Road against the Ravens have had something of a eventful nature, plenty of goals. So last game of the season was 5-2 to the Magpies, the one before that 4 each as Bromley raced to the title. And then in between there was another match, there was only 1-0, but it was stopped by a linesman getting injured, and the game being cast into a doubt by another official being found. So looking forward to an eventful game on Saturday against Bromley, old Isthmian League foes. Maynard fans of vintage look back on a vital match in March 2000, when the Magpies came back from behind to beat Bromley 3-2 on the road to promotion to the Isthmian Premier Division in the first spell under Alan Devonshire, and obviously now hoping to build on the back-to-back wins from last week in front of what should be a big crowd at York Road, hoping for about 1,500.
A big thanks to Steve there for giving us a view from Maidenhead. Obviously the game's coming thick and fast. Following that, we'll play host to Barnet at Hayes Lane on Tuesday night. Obviously, despite being Tuesday night, hopefully we can replicate similar crowd numbers with regards to similar to Saturday. Sorry, first time we've obviously spaced them in the National League, having obviously been relegated.
Yeah, and it's been a bit of an indifferent start to the season for Barnet. They got 2 wins recently. They got their first win away to Chesterfield, which was a very big surprise as Chesterfield started really well. But I think often you find when teams come down from League 2, they do get a bit of a shock.
Yeah.
I think, and we know Barnet are seasoned sort of competitors in this league from a few years back, but you know, new management and such, John Steele coming in, and yeah, it's not been as easy for a lot of the teams that were tipped to do well as people would have thought, James.
Yeah, and as usual, we like to hand over to someone who has a bit more knowledge on the matter, and the man at Barnet was Aaron Pullen.
So we were relegated from Sky Bet League 2 last season, despite bringing in Martin Allen towards the end of the year, which saw an upturn in form. We narrowly missed out by 1 point, or 4 goals in the end. Martin opted for Chesterfield, the other relegated team, of course, and we brought in John Steele. John Steele returned for, I think it was third spell as manager, second overall spell as the club. He joined from Dagenham, of course, where he had been for a number of years, and he brought with him his background team of Darren Curry, who himself is a former B, and Junior Lewis as well. Obviously, with relegation, we lost some of our main players last season. So our Football League record, Football League goal scorer John Akinde left, he went to Lincoln, amongst a handful of others who also departed. So we had 12 summer signings come in, 5 of which were at Dagenham last season. Goalkeeper Mark Cousins, defender Craig Robson, and midfielders Charlie Adams, Andre Bouchard and Dan Sparks. We brought in a couple who were older shot last year, Callum Reynolds, who's gone straight in as our club captain, and Shea Alexander, a right back. And then we brought in Mehdi Alita, who last year was at Cambridge, Byron Harrison, who last year was at Barrow with a spell on loan at Sutton, Jack Barham, who last year scored 37 goals for Greenwich Borough in the Isthmian Division 1, Josh Walker, who last year was at Hendon, and Richard Matrovics, who's a goalkeeper, Latvian international goalkeeper, who was at West Ham under-23s last year. So a big turnaround in squad size, and ultimately a slow pre-season. We kicked off the season with a 0-0 draw at Aldershot, and we were unlucky not to get the whole 3 points. We hit the bar think it was three times we had one cleared off the line, and we could have nicked it at the end, and it says a lot when their goalkeepers picked up man of the match. That was then followed by a draw at home to Braintree, newly promoted of course into this division, and credit to them, they came here with a game plan and they executed it pretty well. We could have won it again. We went 1-0 down, came from behind to bring it back to 1-1, and unfortunately just couldn't get that winning goal. Their keeper pulls off a worldie save in stoppage time to stop that. And then we had a run of three defeats on the bounce against Eastleigh at home, Harrogate away, and Ebbsfleet at home. So again, not the greatest of starts. And then we went into the bank holiday weekend with a trip to Chesterfield, where they have two of our former players and of course our former manager and coaching staff, and we went and nicked it. 1-0 win, probably the best we'd played all season, and ultimately a deserved win. Jack Taylor with a 90th minute goal from the edge of the box. And then on a whole bank holiday weekend of storylines, where we went to Chesterfield where they have our former manager, we then welcomed Dagenham on the Monday where we have their former manager, and they took the lead almost instantly. I think it was first or second minute. And then we worked to get back into the game and ultimately won it 2-1. Probably a deserved result as well. Goals from Wes Fongert, who's an academy product, and Jack Barham scoring his first goal as a professional footballer. So yeah, it's been a mixed start, but hopefully we're now finding the right gears and gelling as a team. This weekend we travel to Dover on the Saturday, so thankfully not too long of a trip before we travel to yourselves, Bromley, who I don't think Barnet have ever played before. I've been there before, but I know it will be in new surroundings for quite a lot of our supporters, and they are looking forward to a visit to your stadium.
Big thanks to Aaron there from Barnet for giving us their view ahead of our game next Tuesday. Don't forget, ahead of Saturday's trip to Maidenhead and Tuesday's game at home to Barnet, to check out the official website www.bromleyfc.co.uk for all the travel ticket details, etc. Don't forget, with regards to Tuesday's home clash with Barnet, your tickets are much cheaper when you buy them in advance, and they're actually on sale right up until 6 o'clock on the Tuesday via the official website. Right, so next up, it's our favourite part of the podcast. It's where you, the fans, get involved and share your memories and stories with us. We always have a different question every week. And on last week's podcast, episode 4, we asked you... What did we ask you again?
We asked for people's favourite away day.
Favourite away day, sorry, that was it, of course. using the hashtag Ravens Weekly over on Twitter, social media and email. We've had a fantastic response, I must admit. I think it's probably the highest response we've had to any of the questions we've asked so far, which is great. So many thanks for everybody who's got involved. I think we're just going to run through some now. I say some, there's a hell of a lot of them. So we might as well get cracking. Matt?
Yeah, so Jamie Thomas was straight in there. He said his best away day was Orient away last season, which was a nervy 1-0 win. It felt like a football league game, and it's brilliant to do the double over them with 300 plus away fans on that day and a great atmosphere.
Rob on Twitter, can only be one for me, Gates said in the semi-final. Every emotion you can ever have at a football match. Jim and the Bromley boys, so emotional at the end, will stay with me for a long time. Excellent day out and a pretty good drink on the train home.
Fair play. Michael Carroll over on Twitter, my best ever Bromley away game was versus Gosport Borough on the last game of the season after being crowned Conference South champions. From the train journey to the ferry over, non-stop singing for 2 hours in the ground and a conga around the pitch. I must admit, that was probably one of my favourite away days as well. Just the whole day was a celebration of what was achieved that season, and yeah, literally started the moment we got on the coach and we took the trophy at its own seat on the coach, little seat belt wrapped around it.
And yeah. A gem of a picture yesterday.
Yeah. Uncovered. Who put that up? Was that David Terry? Yeah. Leading the the conga around the pitch with a trophy. But yeah, it was just a fantastic day. But beforehand, when we took the trophy down, like the Gosport had a load of mascots, local teams and stuff, and they wanted a photo with it in a goal mouth. And I don't know, I just thought it was an absolutely fantastic day. I remember being all crammed in the corner of the ground before the game outside, and everybody was taking photos. You had a great big group photo with all the fans and the trophy and everything like that. And actually, during the game, we were stuck under like a little conservatory bit. It was the only bit outside of the bar where you were allowed to drink, so everybody was packed in there. And I just remember a beer going in the air, Recorder League cider. We had Ben May, I think, Rob Swain. There were players that weren't involved and stuff that were joined in the conga or in the I don't know what you call it, but in mosh pit, I think.
It was pretty much, wasn't it?
Literally, I think we even celebrated when they were scoring.
Yeah, and we lost the game. The result was irrelevant, wasn't
it? Nobody had any idea what was going on. So yeah, great away day there from Michael.
Steve Denny's next, and he said, surely Wembley counts as playing away. Got to be Wembley. If not, then it has to be Gateshead, knowing that we were just one more game from Wembley. The scenes after the final whistle were unforgettable.
Will Clutton, for me, it has to be Gillingham away in the FA Cup first round in 2006. First time I'd ever seen us get that far, and it was an amazing atmosphere in the away pub before the game. Hairs still stand up on my neck thinking of Nick McDonald scoring in front of away fans to make it 2-1.
That was fantastic, by the way. I thought it was game on at that point. I think Sam Wood had a chance moments later as well that could have made it 2-2. But that away pub was fantastic. It was absolutely rammed. All the flags were up in the windows. It looks absolutely great. Where are we? John Alcock now on Twitter. Carshalton away many moons ago. They were top. We were average. And I think somehow we won 4-1 in the pouring rain. The locals weren't happy. We enjoyed it immensely.
And then John's reply to that one again, saying the Greys Athletic FA Cup qualifier was fun until we drew Enfield in the first round proper.
Nathan Denny, also going with Gillingham in 06, first round of my first and best away game. Hadn't seen that many Bromley fans before and went crazy when Nick scored.
Yeah, we must have took about 1,500 that day. It was absolutely packed behind the goal. Mark Avenel's got some amazing photos from the day. Mikey Mike was thinking of that one. I think, I'm not sure what game he's referring to there, but and Gateshead plus that win at Lincoln, winning in front of a big crowd. That was a fantastic one.
And then LV Hill says, for me, it's got to be Gateshead away. So much emotion at the end and celebrations knowing that we've made it to Wembley.
Similar thoughts shared by Eddie McIntosh there. Gateshead, surely knowing a trip to Wembley beckons.
Fantastic. Mash over on Twitter. Greys 1, Bromley 2. Fourth qualifying round of the FA Cup. Greys were in the conference at the time and we were in the Ryman Prem. Mad day behind a goal and a huge cup set. Sam Wood was in that side as a 20-year-old. Time goes so fast.
Steve the Greek next, and he says Aylesbury United in 89-90. We looked doomed, but two goals from Maisie Morgan gave us hope, and we went by train in those days and took a load of fans.
Will Clutton getting involved once again. My favourite moment at an away day was probably walking up into the away stand at Blundell Park in August 2015. That was the point that it sunk in that we were in a conference and it felt like we made it. Being 3-0 down not long after brought us back down to earth, mind.
I do remember that. I do remember that feeling of turning up on that ground going, blimey. And then, yeah, I think we were commentating on it and didn't really enjoy it after that. Colin Head, May 1991. Promotion at Dorking thanks to a very tense 0-0 draw. Massive celebrations after. More recently, you'd go for the trophy semi-final at Gateshead.
And the last one on the Twitter is Georgie Weaver. Apart from the obvious Gateshead game, mine's got to be Gillingham away in the FA Cup in 2006. One of my first memories of a big away day. Chance to the opposition fans, thinking the stand we were in was going to collapse, and the goal from Super Nick.
And yeah, what a great day that would have been for supporters. I unfortunately wasn't there in attendance, but my favourite away game, I think I'm going to go for the Torquay 7-3. It was brilliant. Brilliant. You know, weather was great that day. A really good turnout from Bromley supporters and absolutely rewarded with 7 brilliant goals that day.
Just on that point, me and Kiki were commentating that day, and that's the most awkward. It was a mix of emotions of, wow, I can't believe we scored 7. Absolutely. But you were in a stand full of home fans who were just seeing their club capitulate in front of them. It was awkward.
It was,
incredibly enjoyable at the same time.
Matt, I think you've got your one as well.
Yes, mine's completely random. I'm pretty sure I might be the only one with this one. It was Bath City away in the 13-14 season. I just remember being behind the goal with yourself, James, and the Jack Holland fan club as well, Jack Holland supporters club, who were brilliant. Constantly reminding the goalkeeper his socks were falling down. Brad put us ahead with a penalty. I think they missed a penalty straight after that as well, ballooned it over the bar. And it was a heroic game. They equalised, and then we went on to score. Joe Anderson clearing off the line, several goal line clearances. It was really, really close at the end to getting an equaliser. But it was just a great day. I loved Wharton Park as an away ground. I think it's my favourite. And the result was just brilliant. So that's it for me.
Brilliant. Many thanks for everybody who's contributed and sent in your best away days. Apologies if you missed any out there, or we tried to go through as many as possible. Obviously, we've now got, I guess, decide what our next question is going to be.
I think this week we're going to go for the biggest or most important events you've missed to make a Bromley match.
Oh, yeah, this is a bit improv because I forgot that we spoke about this. I must admit, Mash originally came up with this idea. So this is the most, I don't know what, like you said, most monumental occasion or special moment that you've missed in order to attend the Bromley game. So it might be a wedding, might be exams, it might be anything. I'm trying to think of mine quickly off the top of my head. I bunked a few lessons to go to games. Man got sealed away, but I don't know. I'll have to give that some thought for next week.
I think maybe Tim Hutton should get involved in this one.
Oh, yeah, blimey. How do they get in touch, Matt?
They can email us podcast@bromleyfc.co.uk or do the usual, tweet us @BromleyFC, #RavensWeekly.
Brilliant. I think that's about all we've got time for on this week's episode. A massive thank you to Matt.
Thank you.
And to James.
Thank you.
And thanks to you for listening, tuning, downloading. I think our last episode was our highest downloaded, listened, played, etc. So I really appreciate everybody getting involved and backing it. We're going to be back again next week. But don't forget, we're going to have commentary from Maidenhead. And obviously, Tuesday night we're at home. So make sure you get down to Hayes Lane as we take on Barnet on Tuesday, kick off 7:45. That's it. And we'll be back again next week. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team.